It's another lovely autumn morning, and I'm here to share autumn morning thoughts with you. I'm Nancy Williams for the Zesty Garden. And for some reason, I'm sure there's nobody else out there like this, but when the weather gets cold and the garden is pretty much gone except for the occasional surviving herb you can find out there or a little bit of spinach, I start dreaming of food because it's too early to dream out of the new catalogs full of lovely flowers and bulbs. Those don't come until January. So here we are in the fall, thinking about what grows in gardens, but having nothing except what we've canned or frozen out of them. So then I think about, how do I use that? What do I make for dinner that will enhance all those lovely vegetables and herbs? One of my favorite things to do is a roast chicken. And my very favorite recipe for roast chicken comes from Lori Colwyn's book, More Home Cooking. Lori Colwyn was for years the editor of Gourmet Magazine and left us, as part of her legacy, a couple of marvelous cookbooks. They really are cookbooks, but they're full of the essays that she wrote for Gourmet about food. And this is her essay called Roast Chicken. And she says, and I believe totally with her, there is nothing like roast chicken. It is helpful and agreeable, the perfect dish no matter what the circumstances. Elegant or homey, a dish for a dinner party or a family supper, it will not let you down. In the fall, it is uplifting, served with celery remoulade, and it is comforting in the winter with bread and mushroom stuffing. Or it's just the thing for a spring dinner, stuffed with green grapes or half a lemon. In the summer, it's nice to roast your chicken in the morning, let it cool off in the fridge, and serve it cold for dinner. This gels the juices and brings out the chicken flavor. Cold roast chicken with or without garlic mayonnaise is my idea of pure heaven. The best chickens are free-range organic birds. This means that they've been left to run around and scratch in the barnyard and have not been packed like rush hour commuters in hen houses to be factory farmed. If you can find them, get them. They turn up at farmers markets or at health food stores and now and again at fancy butchers. In my opinion, the cooks of this country ought to begin a nagging campaign until butchers everywhere make them available. They do cost more, but they taste better. Everything else simply makes do, but some roast chicken is in the end better than no roast chicken. As you approach your bird, you will realize that there is controversy on the subject of roasting time. Some people think chicken should be ever so slightly underdone, pink at the joints, 15 minutes a pound tops is their advice. I, on the other hand, like my chicken roasted until the meat falls off the bone and the skin is very crisp. If you tell people that you roast a 3-pound chicken for almost 3 hours, they gasp with horror. But it must be completely dry, they shriek. Actually, it is completely moist and juicy, crisp and tender all at the same time. The secret is to slow roast it at between 250 and 300 degrees Fahrenheit and baste constantly. I'll interject here. I do mine at 300. This is the chicken of my childhood, and it is the chicken you get at my mother's and sister's houses, and none of us has ever had any protests. The simplest chicken is stuffed with a couple of cloves of garlic and half a lemon. My mother seasons the skin with paprika, salt, and pepper, and so do I. The paprika gives the skin a lovely deep color, a nice crunch, and the merest hint of smokiness. A few green grapes in the cavity of the chicken make an elegant dish. You spill them out into the pan juices, which, when spiked with a drop or two of lemon juice, make a delicious sauce. More down home, but just the thing after a long day, is chicken roasted with vegetables. It's easy, too. A couple of peeled, sliced potatoes, carrots, and onions are sautéed in butter and then tipped into the roasting pan. You can season them with thyme or rosemary and pepper. You set the seasoned chicken in the middle of them like an ocean liner amongst tugs, and the result gives you a main course and vegetables. If you happen to have some good whole wheat bread around, dice it up with some chopped porcini mushrooms, toss in butter, and add broth to moisten for a stuffing that's both down home and upscale at the same time. A chicken roasted with little white onions and tiny new potatoes makes an appealing dish. You can mash up the potatoes on your plate and pour the pan juice on top. This is often a hit with young children, who, if they don't like white potatoes, are often mad for little white onions. They can put the whole onion in their mouth or smack it with a fork and watch what looks like a procession of little onions come out of it. Those who eschew fat but still want some roast chicken in their lives can satisfy themselves by removing the crisp skin and giving it to a deserving friend with low cholesterol and pouring all the pan juices and the juice inside the chicken into a bowl. Spoon off the fat and blot what remains away with a paper towel, and then you can have your chicken with a somewhat lighter heart. The trick about roasting chicken is to baste it constantly. This is a boring chore, but well worth the effort. I often like to squeeze the juice of half a lemon over my chicken toward the end, and I roast it for at least 2 hours. I never think in terms of 1 of time per pound. A chicken has to be in the oven at least 2 hours is my motto. When the leg bone wiggles and the skin is the color of teak, it's time to eat. After you've roasted your chicken, you have two wonderful leftovers to look forward to, a chicken sandwich and chicken broth. A chicken sandwich is a mood elevator. If they were served in prisons, people would commit felonies to get in. A proper chicken sandwich makes a person feel like an indulged child and a sophisticated adult at the same time. With a glass of beer, a glass of wine, or a glass of milk or iced tea, a chicken sandwich makes you feel as if you were sitting in a sunlit tea room at the beginning of spring. Of course, if you are going to feel this way, you must be restrained in your consumption of roast chicken so that you can have half an untouched breast for your sandwich. A well-made chicken sandwich takes hours to prepare. First of all, you must roast your chicken. But second of all, you must make a loaf of bread, the cakey kind of white bread with butter and milk in the dough, as well as a little wheat germ. French bread will not do. You want loaf bread, and it is not easy to find a good white loaf these days. Then, of course, you must make homemade mayonnaise. But many people get around these hurdles by buying bread at the baker's and tarting up prepared mayonnaise with lemon juice. Slice the white meat thin, spread the bread with mayonnaise, and scatter on it a dusting of celery salt or ground celery seed. Some people like an open sandwich and some prefer a lid, but in any case, it is traditional to trim the crusts. This is a matter of taste. On the other hand, toast is not a matter of taste. A chicken sandwich on toast is not, in my opinion, a true chicken sandwich. Now, take the chicken carcass and any gravy you have left, plus any of the roasted vegetables, as well as any other bird bones you happen to have around. Organized types, unlike me, often keep these in the freezer for this purpose. Add filtered water to come 3/4 of the way up and simmer all this for 3 hours. Then strain and keep overnight. The fat that solidifies on top makes a nice airtight lid if you're not going to use the broth for a day or so. But if broth is not in your immediate future, skim off the fat and put the broth in the freezer. It is easier and less messy to get the fat off at this stage. This stock, which will turn to jelly in the fridge, is the basis for millions of good soups. But a very quick soup, loved by adults and children, and by this I mean my husband and my child, is known in our house as hen soup. You dice a medium potato, 1 small carrot, and 1 scallion or yellow onion. Put those in a pot with a scattering of lima beans or peas. You can add any other vegetable you like. Zucchini and celery are very nice in this soup. Spoon in enough stock to float the vegetables and simmer. About 10 minutes before serving, break up some spaghetti. A nice addition is the tomato and basil-flavored spaghetti that you can find in the grocery store sometimes, and very hard to find most of the time. Drop the spaghetti in and let it simmer. Add a few drops of lemon juice and a pinch each of pepper and celery salt. If you have any leftover chicken, you can dice it up and put it in too. This, of course, makes the perfect lunch when accompanied by your perfect chicken sandwich. I hope you have a lovely day cooking and smelling good smells in your kitchen and dreaming of your yet-to-come garden of springtime. I'm Nancy Williams for The Zesty Garden. Thank you.
Zesty Garden is a production of Utah Public Radio with producer Shalane Smith-Needham and Brian Earle. To listen to past programs or get additional information about the show, just go to upr.org. If you have an idea for an interview, including guests or topics, send your suggestions to zestygarden@gmail.com. You're listening to KUST HD1 Moab, KCEU Price, KUSL HD1 Richfield, KUSK HD1 Vernal, KUSR HD1 Logan, and KUSU FM HD1 91.5 Logan.